Hi, this is filmmaker BJ Colangelo, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
Welcome to The Default Setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. I'm your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm co-host Gigi Chick.
And today's guest is our first remote guest, joining us remotely from his homestead. Where are you located, Steve?
New Springfield, Ohio.
Where the hell is that?
Yeah, it's a little bit south of Youngstown, like right across the PA border, just in Ohio.
Okay, so bumfuck Ohio is where you're joining us from. Steve Swanson, he is a comedian extraordinaire and soon to be, he and I are going to be working on a project together, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. Steve, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I've listened to a few of your shows that you guys have done. I know this is like six or seven in there. And they're all, I've laughed every time. So
yay!
That's good to hear.
Right? So anybody who's listening now, go back and listen to the other ones.
Yeah. Listen to what Steve says. Yeah. Steve knows what's up.
I do look forward to this. This is my first podcast.
Oh my God. Yay! We've claimed so many podcast virginities in just the last few weeks. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've done radio and some TV stuff, but this is my first podcast.
So. Fantastic. So Steve's default setting that we're going to talk about today is stoned.
Right?
Yeah. And so we're going to start where we usually start, which is the beginning. So tell me, like, why do you consider stoned to be your inherent sort of default?
Well, I think I should probably start off with a little disclaimer that, you know, I don't think that drugs and alcohol and stuff are the way to go for people, and that it can cause some damage to people's lives. But on the other hand, I think drugs and drug humor are really like funny, mm-hmm. and so on the other hand, I go down that road. Like I have some drug humor that I use, but I also I think that marijuana should be legalized. One all over the place.
Yes,
that's ridiculous. You know, that's not. But I think it's a good mentality to take on, as far as looking at the world and having things slow down a little bit, and try to kind of maybe take a different look at things, and maybe try to find the humor in things. I like to do that. So that's kind of my mentality on that. Is why I said my default setting has now become stoned, man.
So, is it possible for someone to be stoned without using the word man at the end of their sentences?
Stoned, man.
You need man to punctuate.
You know, see, the thing about that community, you know, the hippie community, whatever, the stoner lingo, is that you only need those two words. Hey, man.
It just sounds like Chong every time.
That's literally out of that 70s like, show.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, you can just relay so much in just those two words. Like, hey, man.
And it's like a whole lifestyle that was just portrayed to you from those two words.
Hey, I just met somebody, or I see somebody that I haven't seen in a while. And then there's like, hey, man. You know, that's somebody you haven't seen in a while that's no, got good weed.
Or someone that's stealing your homemade Kahlua. One of the two.
Right, someone could go all over the place.
So in your mind, is stoned more of like a mindset more than just like a condition?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
It's not good to go around being stoned all the time.
Yeah. I mean, like, what's your, it sounds to me like your standard definition of stoned. Because, I mean, there are, people can be stoned, like, you know, in the medieval way where like they, you know, they fucked some married guy and then got rocks thrown at them till they die. But like when you say stoned, are you specifically referencing like marijuana high stoned?
Yeah, being like high, you know, hey, man. So just kind of going with the punches and trying to chill out. Not throwing rocks at people. No, just. Yeah.
Thank God for that.
That one.
So when was the first time that you experienced the actual condition of being stoned?
Oh, I don't know. Probably in college.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah, I was in a fraternity, and I remember like one of the first times they had a water bong, and I had no idea what it was, and they were like, "Come on, everybody, have," and he lit it, and I blew into the thing. The weed all over, you know, it was the only weed in the party, and I blew it all over his face.
That's amazing.
Like bong water just like explodes
everywhere. Yeah, it was like a hose. Yeah.
So that was literally the first time you'd ever smoked weed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was pretty much. Yeah.
Once you finally did inhale, did you get stoned?
Yeah.
The first time?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, and then we were like in the dorms too. So it was my roommate at the time when he got me like really high.
Okay.
We were in the dorms, and then everybody like knew it too because we were like idiots.
Do you remember anything about that time? Like anything like that your experience, like your mindset or like things you experienced that were like different about being high versus not?
Yeah, that's when people like realize it's your first time, they hand you like a sleeve of saltines, and they're like, "Here, yes, you know."
Amazing.
It was my friends. Yeah.
Did you feel like pretty like safe and well taken? I mean, it sounds like they kind of were like prepped. They had like a kit for like.
Yeah.
Oh, we were just having a good time. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I was actually just talking about in the last episode, like. The fact that it took me I probably smoked weed 12 times before I ever felt anything. And I don't know if it just took that many times to build up on my system. And that's something that a lot of people have said, that like the first one or two times you smoke, you really don't feel much because it has to sort of build up in like your fat cells or whatever for it to actually register. So it's always interesting to me when people talk about their first time smoking, they talk about feeling stoned, and I always
I definitely got stoned. Yeah, I didn't smoke until my freshman year of college.
Okay.
And it's like was the best, like if there ever was a good like first smoking pot experience, like that was the one.
Good.
I mean, it was amazing. It was like so funny. Good. Good. Like looking back on it, it just makes me smile. Like my big teddy bear friend Darius. Just driving me and two other girls after our computer software technologies class that made us all want to jump off a bridge, getting into Darius's car and him driving us through the east side of Cleveland, driving with his left hand, rolling and like just rolling a joint with his right hand and then passing it.
My God.
You know, maybe not the best life choice, but it was, yeah, I definitely got stoned.
I have to say for Steve, I'm actually kind of like fascinated / proud like that your first like encounter with weed was with a water bong, because I have probably smoked from a water bong literally in my whole life maybe 3 times, and it was from my one friend who just had one in her house, and she would always have to pack it for me because I had no idea what the fuck.
That'd be intimidating.
Yeah, and so like the fact, like I feel like that's the hardest one, like of all the different ways to do
here,
weed, like
try this.
Yeah,
out.
You got the hardest fucking one on your first time, so I feel like everything after that. I mean, did you feel like any other like format after that was easier, or
they totally made fun of me, of course, and then why would you blow into the thing,
right?
And it was like this weird thing. It was made out of like a pencil sharpener and like
what university was this?
Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania.
Okay, yes. Okay. Is it like a private school or?
No, it's a state school in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It's about 5 minutes south of you.
Look out for them Edinburghs.
Yeah. So, like, when you first, like, was it one of those things where, like, because I know a lot of people, like, fall immediately into the category of, like, I'm a pothead and I just smoke it all the time. Was it just kind of more, like, recreational once in a while at parties, or?
Right. No, it was more recreational. Yeah, it was recreational. Yeah. We didn't we didn't have money. We would like pull our money together sometimes, but you know, you could get in trouble for that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah.
We never really got into any issues with that. It just wasn't around so much. Or
okay.
Was, you know.
Was it hard to get at that time?
Well, it would come it would come in spurts. Okay. I went to college in the 90s.
Okay.
And things have changed a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
That goes, you know, and I think the weed's like a lot more potent now.
That's what I keep hearing, because I actually didn't smoke weed for the first time until I was 30. So that was like 6 years ago. So I have no idea, but everything, like all accounts of like either people who are my age that started smoking in high school, or like friends that I have that are like 5 to 15 years older than me are like, I don't know what you kids have like now, but holy fucking shit. That stuff is hard.
Yeah, it's all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah. Just, you know, and I think sometimes like, especially kids might think that it's more, you know, they might get into it more than just recreational.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, you know, if it's something you come to rely on all the time. Anything that's, you know, alcohol, weed, whatever, you know, it's anything in moderation, everything in moderation.
Did you know anyone that was like a big pothead / had like issues because of how dependent they became on it?
Not weed, but other drugs. Okay. Like cocaine and heroin and people dying and stuff like that.
Did you have friends?
Well, friends, yeah. Okay. Friends, yeah. Friends, it's hard seeing friends going through, you know, addiction. Yeah. And they do stupid things, and they do dumb things to get money to feed that addiction. And it's hard to watch, you know, you have to kind of break away from that so you don't get sucked into it. You
yeah.
know, and, you know, I was always on the outside of that. Never, you know, I always kind of try to stay out of trouble. My dad was a cop, so I always had this like sense of trying to stay out of trouble.
Oh yeah.
You know, he beat my ass is what would happen. So
well, your dad was caught. Like, what do you mean by that?
He was a cop.
A cop.
Oh, cop. Sorry.
Yeah, a cop. No, he was a city cop.
Oh, okay. So did he ever like catch you smoking weed?
No.
Okay.
No, not really.
Okay.
It's one time at like my wedding.
Oh shit.
At that point it's like, come on.
Yeah, there was a moment where he like rented this room for like his friends, his buddies. It was like a hospitality suite, and like we all my buddies came, and we were hanging out, drinking, partying. We all went back to the room and like smoked. And then when we came back to the suite, when we walked in there, there were probably like 20 new people in there, and they were all cops.
You were just all wigging out, like.
They all looked at us like, it was my dad's one buddy. He's like, I think they smell like marijuana.
Yeah.
Like, it was
his wedding day. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, no doubt.
What's funny is, so first off, on my wedding day, we drank an exorbitant amount of alcohol and then decided to drive to a bar. And on the way, and the bar was only like 2 miles away from the reception hall. But of course, we got pulled over on the way to the bar.
I don't think I've ever heard this story.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy story. And so fortunately, so the thing was, so we get in the car and like, my ex-husband had like a shitload to drink, like way more than I had, because I refused to drink because I had my giant dress and didn't want to have to pee and like deal with that. But then by the end of the night, everyone was like, shots! So I probably had like 3 shots and like a couple glasses of wine. He had been doing shots for like 4 hours. And I was like, oh, let me drive. And he was like, no, I'm the husband. I'm going to drive us. And then he proceeds to drive up onto the sidewalk at the reception hall to drive away. And I'm like, this is bad. So his brother, his best friend, and his brother's wife were in the car behind us, following us to the bar, and proceed to watch us get pulled over. I am positive our car smelled like a distillery from the inside because of just how completely hammered we were. We get pulled over into the Giant Eagle parking lot in Brecksville. The guy, you know, knocks on the window, and like my ex hands him his license, and the guy's like, what are you doing? And the thing about my ex is he could be kind of a belligerent drunk. So he's like, we're on our way to a bar. And I was like, oh no. and the guy was like, what are you like, what's going on? And he's like, I got married today. And he was like, whose car is this? And he was driving my car. And so he was like, my fiance, my wife's. And so finally, like, the cop leans in and, like, looks at me. Like, he sees me sitting in the passenger seat. I'm still holding my bouquet. I have a veil in my hair. And I just look at him and wave because, like, I don't really know what else to do. And the guy is just like, hang on. So he turns around and goes back to his car. And the whole time we're just sitting there, like, waiting. You know, it's one of those things. He's back in his car and the lights are still going. And we're sitting in this dark parking lot. And I was like, we're going to spend our wedding night in jail. Like, that's what's going to happen. We're going to spend our fucking wedding night in jail. And I'm going to ask to get this annulled because technically we haven't consummated this marriage yet. So we could still very easily get it annulled. The guy walks back, hands him his license. He's like, congratulations, you guys. Just be safe. And then he left.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry, but bad cop. Like, come I know. On.
No, he was a bad cop. And the other thing, too, was that So my ex's brother, his wife, and my ex's best friend were in the car behind us. And they actually pulled into the parking lot, like, off to the side. And they're calling all of our friends who are already at the bar, like, oh, fuck, Jess and Steve got, like, you know, pulled over and they're both wasted. And one of his friends is, like, a Harvard Law graduate, like, attorney who, like, works for Goldman Sachs. And he's like, tell him not to blow. We're on our way. This is 5 days before Christmas. It's December. And they're running down Highway 82, like, in their groomsmen suits at midnight. Assuming, I don't even know what they thought they were going to do. Like, they're running down the highway in the middle of the night, in the middle of winter, like, coming to represent us, I guess, legally.
That's amazing. That is so amazing.
So I can relate to being involved in illicit activities and the best part, so his best friend who was in the car that was pulled off to the side of us had just finished his second tour in Afghanistan, and he had PTSD, like, major big time, and he was just like, just let me out of the car. I'll go break the cop's neck. It'll be fine.
Oh, God.
And they were like, we're just locking the doors.
This was almost the wedding night from hell.
Like, we dodged so many bullets. So sorry. We get off on a lot of tangents on this show, and that very much illicit activity on wedding night is something I'm all too familiar with. So, So you tried being in college for the first time, and then it was just kind of like whenever there was a party on occasion, you would, like, partake.
Yeah, we'll go with that, Jess.
Yeah, let's do that.
yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah,
or, sure. You know, sometimes a little more frequently, perhaps. I mean,
I worked in corporate America for a long time.
Okay.
So in that world, I could never really come out and say, you know, you could never be a pot smoker in corporate America.
Do you ever get drug tested?
Yeah, you get drug tested, right?
Yeah. So did you actually try to avoid it for the purposes of, like, random drug screens, or?
No.
Okay.
No, well, no, not really.
Okay.
No.
Did you ever have an issue?
No, I never. No, you never, never get, my motto was never lose a job over, like, smoking weed, you know, that's dumb. But, you meet people in work, it's funny, people show themselves as, like, pot smokers. They, everywhere I worked, there was somebody that smoked weed.
Everywhere.
So, but they reveal themselves, like, weirdly. It's kind of funny, when you go into a different situation. Somebody, you smoke,
You smoke.
Well, what's funny to me is I remember, I think it was last year, I was at a comedy show, and I had someone come up to me and was like, hey, do you smoke? And I was like, well, it depends on what you're asking. And the guy goes, pick a color. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I know that the answer I would give is green, but I don't know what the other colors would be. Like, is black, like, opium?
Pick a color.
Like, what? I don't. Yeah, he said, pick a color. And I was like, green. And he's like, oh, I was hoping you would say cigarettes. And I'm like, but what color is cigarettes? Like, is that brown? I don't understand.
It's a bad game, man.
Yeah. Like, he was like, pick a color. And I was like, well, I know my answer is green, but I don't know what the other options are. Now I'm like,
that's bizarre.
Now my brain's gone down a rabbit hole.
I only smoke black in milds. It's like, what color do you want me to? What's the wrong color right now?
Marlboro
Reds. I don't
Reds.
Like mind games. I'm over this conversation. Maybe that's what I would have told
him. Maybe he thought I was going to say, like, Marlboro Reds or menthols or I don't fucking
know. Oh, there you go. Yeah, maybe it was some kind of.
Have you ever smoked cigarettes?
I was a cigarette smoker for a long time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I quit a few years ago. I fell off the wagon. It's hard not to, but especially when I get all stressed out. Yeah. You know, I start leaning on this, going to a cigarette here and there, but
when did you start smoking cigarettes?
When I was a wee kid, my parents smoked.
Okay.
And they were like available. So.
Did your parents care that you smoked?
Yeah, but yeah, my dad, yeah, they both didn't like it. So it was kind of weird though. Once I got into college and I was smoking like all the time, like we could smoke in high school. I went to a Catholic school. We had like a smoking section.
Wow.
At the Catholic high school.
That makes and sense.
Yeah, it's not like it was 100 years ago. I mean, right. That was like late 80s. But yeah, there was we had a smoking session. My parents smoked, and when I went to college, I started smoking all the time. And they then when I came home or around them, they didn't care if I smoked. So,
did you pretty much quit smoking a few years back because it was like this is bad for my health, or was there really any other motivation? Yeah.
Well, it's the money too. It's drained. It just sucks to suck
so much money.
Yeah, so much money. It just makes you poor. So, stopping smoking, it just saved me a lot of money.
Do you, so I've never really smoked cigarettes. Do you find like the act of smoking weed sort of cathartic as like if you're craving a cigarette as an alternative?
Well, that kind of does help, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people talk about how it's like a lot of just the hand-to-mouth, oral fixation sort of elements of it, not necessarily the nicotine. So.
Yeah.
Inhalation part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely that habit.
Because my boyfriend vapes. Like, he is a major... shout out to the vape shop down the road from the recording studio here called Planet of the Vapes. If you guys want to sponsor our podcast, more than happy, because that is a fucking incredible name for a vape shop. I can't think of a better name for a vape
shop.
No,
I can't either.
But yeah, so he vapes a lot. And it always makes, and I always mean to ask him, like, because we talk about cigarettes, and he says, like, with his vape, he doesn't miss cigarettes at all. And like, it's funny, actually. He did smoke when we first started dating. We've been dating about 2 years. He hasn't smoked in about 6 months because the last time he did and he came over, I got physically nauseous at the smell of like stale cigarette smoke on him. And he hasn't gone back because he knows like I won't get within 50 feet of him if he smokes. Like, and it's not because I'm trying to manipulate. Like, if you want to fucking smoke. I don't give a shit. But like, I'm not getting near you because I can't stand how you smell when you smoke. But it's always something I've been meaning to ask him and wondered about, like, is marijuana like kind of a good little like gap filler in that regard for.
Well, it could be, I imagine. Yeah,
so sure. I mean, it sounds like it is for you anyway.
Yeah, I guess the time, sure. It helps with anxiety, you know, that sometimes comes with not smoking. You know, I get all riled up. I need to chill out sometimes, so
that
comes with me, no doubt.
Do you prefer smoking weed over like drinking alcohol?
That's a tough one. I like drinking
both.
Drink beer and whiskey and wine and scotch. I like.
I love drinking too.
Definitely.
I really do.
All of the above.
My thing is like I can't wait until like because I mean it's gonna fucking happen unless like some really bad shit goes down in the U.S., which is entirely possible at this point. But like, I feel like when weed does become legalized here, like my whole thing is like, there's no calories in weed. You know what I mean? Unless I'm eating edibles. So for me, like I can still like peace out of reality without having to drink 4 beers and put on like 2 pounds. I can just like take a couple hits off my vape and escape reality. And it's much, I don't know. To me, it's better for my diet.
Yeah, definitely. My friends and I were super into, smoking tea leaves for a while there.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, because like we had just justified it in our minds. We're like, we're being so spiritual, and it's like we're like this is an experience now. We're just smoking like tea leaves.
That's some hippie bullshit right there.
But it was weird because it satisfied the habit, like you were saying, that like hand to mouth habit, especially like I used to smoke, and for me it was like after I would eat.
Mm.
especially, that's when I would like really jones for one. Mm-hmm. And like just smoking it like tea leaves. Yeah. I mean, it's still like that same kind
of
concept.
Would you just take tea out of a bag and roll it and smoke it? Or how did that work?
I mean, we would buy like specific
types of tea,
like loose leaf tea. Yeah. That was like meant to be smoked. It was like kind of like a mix.
Really? They have smoking tea?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. I'll hook you up.
Have you ever tried smoking tea, Steve?
No, I haven't smoked any tea, man.
I think last time I did, actually, I was at Now That's Class, the crazy hole in the wall bar.
The punk bar or whatever. Yeah. So
right, man.
Right.
Do you have different moods where you're like, I'd rather smoke to deal with anxiety and I'd rather drink to like deal with like other things? Or is it just kind of what, you know, it's just, there's not really a specific method to it.
Well, it's not really good to lean on.
Yeah, no.
Stuff, you know, when you're trying to get by or something or whatnot, you know.
Yeah.
Either one, you know, it depends on, you know, what's available, I guess. It doesn't always seem to be a rhyme or a reason. I like weed, to smoke some weed, and I like to write sometimes, or, you know, but.
Do you find you're more creative when you smoke weed?
Well, I can be, as far as writing, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Have you ever done stand-up high?
I would say yes.
Yeah?
I'm going to answer yes on that, yeah.
So I never have, and I'm terrified because I feel like I have a hard time completing sentences when I'm high. So, like, and the other thing is, when I'm on stage, I always have my notes because I just am constantly panicking that I'm going to forget my joke halfway through. I know that's what would happen if I were high. So I don't know if you've ever experienced any of that, or if you feel, like, kind of fearless, or if what your experience is performing.
No, I've been on stage enough that I'm past all that. So if, you know, I don't ever want to put myself in a position where, like, I'm on stage and I'm incoherent or I'm too drunk, or, you know, there have been times where maybe I go to an open mic or something and have, you know, a beer or two, and you're like lightheaded a little bit, and things get a little choppy, but you know, it's not, you know, you have to be able to perform. So there's a fine, you know, fine line, because you see, people don't like, you know, comics that get up on stage and they're all high and they're incoherent, and the only person's funny is themselves, you know, themselves, and then the crowd usually doesn't react well to that. So,
How long have you been doing
stand-up? Holy crap, I was thinking about that recently. It's been a long time. It's, like, professionally, like, getting paid, it's been over, like, 10 years.
No shit!
So, yeah.
So I assume you still enjoy it?
I do very much. It's phenomenal. It's amazing. There's nothing like it, really.
Yeah. How often do you perform?
Well, it depends. I've been, see, what happened was the last summer I got fired from my job.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so.
For smoking weed?
No, not for smoking weed, no, because it's corporate bullshit is what it was.
Yeah, goddamn corporate. Goddamn the man.
I was making too much money. Yeah, that's why I got fired for. But what happened was, with that, I ended up going into Rogers Flea Market with a camera crew and getting permission and filming like a sizzle reel.
Yeah, I saw it.
So that right there, like, changed everything for me. It really gave me the chance where I got fired, which sucked, and not really happy about it. But it also gave me the opportunity to quickly kind of regroup and make that sizzle reel, which then has led me to now making season one that's going to start production here in March.
What's it called?
Season one, it's Flea Market Fanatics.
Flea Market Fanatics. And I am going to be helping out Steve doing some hosting and interviewing of the local folk that are going to be at these flea markets and just kind of finding out what they're about. You should definitely check out, is it on your specific YouTube channel?
Well, right now we're going to have a website, of course, and everything. But right now you can check us out on Instagram, Flea Market Fanatics. and Facebook, Flea Market Fanatics. We have those up. Our website's going to go up here very shortly. We're going to do a casting call for the show. We're going to do like a American Idol type casting, casting call for a flea market in Ohio, and see, you know, see what kind of people we get. We're going to put you right in the middle of the market.
Yes. Oh, Lord, help them all.
Yes, they don't even know. They don't even know what's about to happen.
I know.
Where did you get the idea to do something like this?
Well, I've been going to this market for about 5 or 6 years, and what happened was is that about 5 years ago or so, my girlfriend lost her job. She got fired like in May. It was like right around the end of May. And she was into hula hoops and making hula hoops. She wanted to make hula hoops. So she's like, I'll just go to the flea market, Rogers, down the road here, and sell these hula hoops. And I started going to this place, and I was like, wow, there is definitely a show here.
So, yeah.
And I didn't know how to really put it together. So it's taken a little time. And we've got such a great crew. The director of photography is from Switzerland.
Oh, wow.
We've got people that worked on the Fat and Furious that are working on this. These people have reality show experience that are helping us film this. We have our other co-host, he's Steve Kreider is his name. Steve is a friend of mine from college, and he took a different path than I did. When he was going through school, once he got done with that, he went into the Army and went into the service full time. And he retired after 25 years, whereas I went and got married and then divorced and then started doing comedy and trying to, you know, claw my way through that. And lo and behold, he gets out of the Army. He starts working for some charities and gets to meet some people. Lo and behold, he's now working with Ricky Schroeder. He's doing production work. He gets a job on Duck Dynasty.
That's great.
Yes, and he's building his resume up as I'm working, doing the comedy stuff, writing. And we just kind of put our heads together on this, the Fanatics, Flea Market Fanatics. And we just
That's awesome.
Put it all together. And now we're rolling it out, which starts like next week with our PR releases, and hope to do some media, and hope we get some people to listen to this as well so they can check out, you know, our
site. Well, you know, if I'm going to be on it, they're going to be wanting to be like, oh, well, look at what Jess is doing, because I have quite the following of 200 people on Twitter, so I don't need to brag.
That's impressive, Jess.
No, it's not. It's terrible. Every day I sit there and I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Because I just see people get retweeted 30,000 times for jokes they fucking stole. And then I'll just pour my goddamn heart and soul. I've been on Twitter for 10 years and I've only accumulated 245.
I'm not even on Twitter.
In 10 years. And that's the thing. I feel like Jeech could go on there, post like some song lyrics and a couple jokes, and she'd have 8,000 followers in a week. And it's like, but then I have like a lot of my friends were like, hey, you've been on Twitter for 10 years, so you're probably aware that this place is like a fucking garbage dumpster fire, trash heap, train wreck of like, anytime you do become popular, everyone just wants to like troll you and say a bunch of nasty shit. So it would probably be best if you didn't become popular on here. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
That is so terrible and so true.
Yeah.
And people do, they just want to bring everybody down and get angry. And
I choose to believe, like, I have this theory that like there's really only like 12 trolls in the whole world, but they each have like 100 accounts that they just log into every day and like switch it up and then just like start shit to make you feel like the whole world is like,
that'd be crazy,
full of garbage people, but really it's just like 12 assholes who like never got laid or never got hugged by their dads that are just going around
the stuff like, the trolls say like online, it's always like stereotypical,
and it's incoherent.
You were bullied as a child / into your adolescence, and this is why you are saying these like absurd, mean things that like adults don't say to strangers like ever.
It's always incoherent ridiculous. Too. Like my whole philosophy on trolls is like people get so mad at them, and it's like, well, no, like if there were a schizophrenic homeless man on the corner, which living in downtown Cleveland, I see every day. Gigi encounters
every 2 seconds
on. Yeah. Downtown transportation all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, if he yells like, I want to smell your cunt, like, I'm just going to be God. Like, yeah, you're a crazy person. And I just let it go. But if that same person did it online, people would be like, oh, this guy's problematic. And they'd start freaking the fuck out. And I'm like, no, they're just insane. Why are you letting this insane person? Like, why are you giving them any merit? Like,
they're clearly insane.
Ignore them on the street. So why are you giving them merit to, like, online? Like, this person's just nuts. So.
Well, people like to fight, though.
Yeah. They like to fight. I get tired. I get tired easily.
That's why I got kids, instead of fight, more people should just take on that stone mentality.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's true, because, like, I don't think, so the only emotions I've ever felt while stoned are sleepy, funny, horny, and doc.
And doc?
Yeah. Gigi's just staring at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because she's 12 and she doesn't probably get that it's a Snow White reference to the seven dwarves and their seven names.
Yes,
no, yeah. I just
didn't think it was funny.
No, I just couldn't figure it out fast enough.
No, sorry, Gigi, I'm just giving you a hard time.
I was like, I was more of going through my own checklist.
Well, I couldn't think of another emotion, and then I'm like, these sound like seven dwarves, so I'm just going to say doc.
Dopey, sneezy.
Yeah, bashful. What was I going to say? I feel like I've been stoned, because then I forget like halfway through what I'm going to say, and then I just start trailing off like I'm doing it. Getting back to the stone thing, I imagine like in this day and age, it's easier to get a hold of than it probably was in college, than it used to be. I mean, it is for me.
Yeah, I went to MJ, so yeah, it seems to be more plentiful. It seems to be everywhere.
Yeah, and is there a specific, because the thing is, too, in addition to its accessibility, there's all these different formats now. Like, you have edibles, and you have vape, and you have, you know, joints, and you have, like, bud, and you have fucking... So I learned so much. Like, my boyfriend was my weed dealer. I've learned so much about like how many varieties
you're
this shit
classy,
comes in.
Yes.
I know, I'm real classy. We went to Portland on our like first big trip together, and you know it's legal there. And he was like teaching me all about all this shit. Like, I've never known that there's like wax. Like, there's fucking wax you can get and melt it down. And then there's also this shit called shatter, which is kind of like if weed were like rock candy.
Like candy glass.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever make that in elementary school?
No.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Is it pretty easy, right? You just melt down hard candy or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like cinnamon flavored and mint and whatever.
Kind of like fucking Breaking Bad, like the blue meth.
Exactly,
just put
yeah.
it in a pan and smash it up.
That's exactly what it was like.
So is there a particular format? What's that?
It sounds like the stoner community's got way too much time on their hands.
Right. Well, there's funny. There's Carmen Morales. She has this really good joke about like the whole reason I got into weed is so that I wouldn't have to get like fucking beakers and contraptions and shit. She's like, then I feel like I'm doing actual hard shit. Like, I feel like I'm doing like meth when I've got to start going and buying like Erlenmeyer yep. flasks and like Bunsen burners and shit to smoke my weed. Like, then that defeats the entire purpose. But I just wondered if like you just stick with like old fashioned yeah. bud or
I,
like
I think the flower is the best yeah. part of it. Yeah.
Go. It's funny too because I'm still relatively new, since I've only like been smoking for like 6 years. Whenever like my boyfriend will go and he'll pull out like a bud, he'll start pulling like the stems out and shit. And I'm like, am I supposed to be doing that? Cause I just shove a fucking bud in a bowl and just light it. Like, I don't ever peel it apart or take out. And he's like, well, sometimes when you leave the stems in, you get like a burnt flavor. And I'm like, I have no idea. It all tastes the same to
he's
me.
He's such a pro.
Yeah. I have no fucking idea. So I wasn't sure how, like, if everyone was like that or if that's just like a connoisseur thing or.
No, I think everyone's kind of like that. There's, yeah. different smoke for different folks, you know?
Yeah. The thing I like about vape is that he's able to get these vape cartridges, and I don't know how his friend makes them, and we'll probably find out in 10 years that it gives you, like, mesothelioma, and I'll probably die. But he has... Right. He has, like, ones that are flavored. So for Christmas, he got me one that was, like, strawberry mojito flavored. And he got one that was, like, Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavored. And that shit's the jam. Like,
yeah, I don't think that's real, Jess.
Well, I mean, it tastes real. Gigi's had some of it. Yeah.
He said, like, strawberry margarita.
Mojito. Strawberry mojito, yeah.
I'm sorry, mojito. The mint finish was lovely.
It is. It actually has, like, a little tingly...
It was,
like,
quite lovely.
Yeah, it has a tingly finish to it. And that's the thing. Like, you still get, like, a good buzz, but it's not, like...
But there's, like, an actual, like, flavor to it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, like, the one thing I did like about Waterbong, with, like, three times that I tried it, was that it's much like a vape pen. You're not, like, hacking up a lung if you hit it too hard because it's so smooth.
Right, yeah, the whole idea kind of smooths out the,
Because that's it. When I hit the pipe or the bowl or whatever now, like, he's even got one of those little ceramic pipes that looks like a cigarette, so he can smoke it in public. He can just pack that and, like, can smoke it in public. You know, provide.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Blowing smoke. And
it's better. Nobody knows what you're doing.
Yeah.
What's that smell? It smells like orange crush.
Yeah, there's definitely not a huge plume following you around. But, like, that's the thing. Like, if I would take hits off that and I would hit it too hard, I'm still the person that, even though I smoke probably a couple times a week, I'm still the kind of person that would just be for, like, 5 minutes, to the point where I think I'm going to barf because, like, I'm just, like, heave coughing. So I just didn't know, like, because, like I said, now that I have alternatives that include, like, vapor, that just seems like, I don't know why anybody still smokes anything else. So
it sounds like aromatherapy or something.
Yeah.
Let's go vapor it out.
Vapor. We went to Amsterdam. Have you ever been to Amsterdam?
I have not. No, that's on the bucket list.
Yes. Sure. Strongly recommended. When we went to Amsterdam, you can literally smoke in every, like, just any format you could possibly imagine. So we actually got to try, they have these things that are actual vaporizers. It looks like the bottom half of a blender, and then you literally put this, like, plastic bag on top of it, and it,
the volcano.
Yeah, and it fills the bag with vape, and then you take the bag off, and it's got, like, a little stopper on the end of it, so it, like, all the vape doesn't come out when you take it off the thing, and then you just hit it, and then you pass it around until all the vape's out of the balloon, and it's a big balloon. It's, like, the size of, like, a grocery bag. And we made a horrible mistake. I probably told the story on here, but I probably don't remember because I was probably high when I told it. But we ate a piece of space cake, and they actually give you a little note that's like, just so you know, this has 1 gram of weed. Like, one slice has 1 gram of weed. And I'm very bad at the metric system. So I forgot that 1 gram equals 100 milligrams. And most edibles that I have had in my life are anywhere between 5 and 25 milligrams. And I was like, oh, this will be fine. Like, this is not.
I got this.
Oh, yeah. And I was high for like 36 hours and was like losing my
mind. Just freaking out.
Oh, my God. I lost my goddamn mind. Have you ever had that where, like, you just went too hard and, like, lost your mind?
No, but I've seen it happen quite a few times. It's the most enjoyable. I always had fun with that, yeah.
What, watching other people?
Yeah, watching other people just, like, cry. And
how do you know, like...
I love watching others cry.
How do you know when you've hit your limit? How do you know, like... Because that's the thing. I'm really bad, both with alcohol and weed, of knowing when to stop. Do you have, like, telltale signs where you're like, I've had enough?
Yeah, probably when you throw up.
Oh, do you throw up?
No. Over time, you just kind of know, you know. I guess when I was younger, we, like, in college and stuff, we drank a shit ton. So, you know, and that was, we invented binge drinking is what we did at that time.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, that's not really a good term. So now it's day drinking, so which is
yes,
that's a little more acceptable now. So
when you do it during the day and you call it day drinking instead of binge drinking, it's more socially
sounds classy.
Yeah,
It sounds classy. Yeah. It's, everybody's like, oh, yeah. Because, you know.
Let's brunch. Let's day drink a little.
Nice. Right. Yeah.
Yay. Day drinking sounds so much more fun than alcoholism.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. My thing was when I was like tripping balls off the space cake, what I was glad for is that my inquisitive mind had already, and it wasn't anything that was meant to be like preemptive, but like I just read up so much on like no one has actually ever died from too much weed. But I remember reading so many anecdotal stories about Sherrod Brown's wife. She works for the plane dealer, Connie Schultz, I believe her name is. She actually wrote an article about how she went to Colorado and bought a candy bar that you're supposed to just eat like one square of to like get high, but she ate the whole goddamn thing in one sitting and then like freaked the fuck out and like called 911 and was like, I'm dying. I'm actually dying. And they were like, no, you're not. And so I remember reading so many things about how no one has ever died from like ODing. Like someone might have died because of something stupid they did from doing too much marijuana, but like no one's actually just straight up died from too much marijuana. So I just remember distinctly thinking the entire time, like every time I would have a thought where it's like, I'm actually dying, immediately another voice would come in and be like, you would be the first person that would ever actually die from overdose of marijuana. You're not going to die. No one's done it before. You're not going to die. So I was glad that at least
you are going to be the precedent in so many medical labs.
But like the voice wasn't like, you're actually going to die. It was just like, no one's done this. You're not special. Like you won't be the person that dies from too much marijuana. But like, I was thankful that I had that little voice, that very tiny voice of reason and all of the insanity that was happening. So
I just need that little voice.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you know, when to go forward, when to stop, you know.
So have you ever had like a bad experience with being stoned?
Yeah. Right? Like a couple times, I guess, like being like way whacked out in the back of a friend's car and getting pulled over by the police. You know, my friends were like totally sober.
Oh,
you
know,
but I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't. And they convinced me to go see a movie. And I was just out there. And all of a sudden, the police car comes up behind us. And they started, like, making fun. They turn back. They're like, oh, officer, he's really high. You want to check him when you think he has some weed on him.
Oh,
you
know, no.
Yeah, they were just, like, totally bugging me out. And it was like one of those super trooper moments, you know, with the cop walking up. Yeah, that's anytime the police are involved, that's kind of a weird thing.
I feel like you have a lot of like I was high and then there were cop stories.
not a whole lot. No, there were a few though. I guess some of my friends though they're hilarious because I know I have this one friend who consistently got arrested for having possession of weed, and he would like light up in his car. And not realize that he was parked behind a police car, you know, when I pop in it or something, you know. So he got arrested doing that one time, and you know, it being in a park and lighting up and walk around a corner and there's a cop, you know, stuff like that. It's just, but that not me. I never really gotten any trouble for it.
That's good. I mean, now it's just a ticket, you know. It's
yeah, I'm so glad it's decriminalized now. It's ridiculous.
How much like time and taxpayer resources were devoted to like?
Oh yeah, I mean, and I interned at the Justice Center downtown for about a year after college, and I had my own caseload. I was in the sex offender unit for several months, and then I was in the drug unit, and just like the amount of people that I saw that were literally just in there for like strictly like possession of marijuana.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know.
Such a waste of space.
Yeah. It's time. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. So.
That's terrible when that could go to people that really need help.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Or people that are actually like committing violent crimes or.
Yeah. So that was frustrating.
I guess it's probably easier to catch stoned people than people who are like high on PCP and like.
Well, like actual, cars. Like, I mean, like addicts of like hard drugs, they are very good liars.
Yeah.
Like very good at lying. Like they can convince you of a lot of things. So typically
the best salesman in the world. because they want to get that next fix or a situation. Yeah.
It's crazy. So a lot of times I did see people in that situation and it was like, wow, I have no idea. Like, this person could just be straight talk, like lying to me, and I would have no idea.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten stoned on any other substances like the shrooms or acid?
Those are good questions, I guess. Sure. Let's just put it this way. That there's, I think in regards to that stuff that, what am I trying to say here? And I'm worried about my kids like listening to this.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I won't tag you in anything that we promote.
No, it's funny though. You know, they're going to be like, damn, what the fuck?
Well, they can learn through your mistakes.
I loved hearing stories like that about my parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is about like acid and mushrooms. Now they're doing like research on it and how it affects depression.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I myself, I'm what some people might call a deadhead, and I'm a fan of the Grateful Dead and a fan of history, and their history started back in the '50s when the CIA was giving people acid. Mm-hmm. So, and I found all that kind of fascinating and it's kind of an interesting drug. And I know not everybody should take it.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I've seen some people freak out.
Well, and that we were just actually talking about this in the last episode too. Like, I'm actually afraid because, like, you know, my boyfriend will do shrooms probably like once every couple of months, and he'll do acid when he goes to like music festivals, and he's always like, "Oh, you could try it sometime." And I'm like, "No, I'm actually like terrified to try that shit."
Cause I am
like,
too.
It can mess with your mind so much. Because knowing how like I thought I was dying just eating too much space cake. I don't even know how I would react. I'd probably like run naked through a
Yeah, if temple. You're in the wrong mindset too, it's like
right
going into it. It could be a really terrible experience. Right. So I don't know. That creeps me out.
It's all about the experience, man.
Just like hearing what other people say about it. They're like, well, just, you know, you have to be in a really good mood and you know, don't look in any mirrors. And yeah, remember that time we were in the woods and we were with those three kings and like, oh yeah, that was my, and I was like, yeah, you are not selling this shit. Like, I am terrified.
Absolutely not.
This sounds like a nightmare. Yeah. No, thank you.
And
I'll get my tipsy on at the bar.
And the other
I'm good.
Thing is too, like, I mean, I don't know that they've disproved the notion that it can have long-term fucked up effects on your brain as far as like, LSD flashbacks and all the other sort of shit. And I just feel like I'm already predisposed to enough with like anxiety, depression. I'm pretty sure my grandmother had mild like paranoid schizophrenia. Like I don't really want any of that shit to get like triggered or flared up when I start doing like, you know, psychotropic drugs.
I already have trippy dreams every night. I don't need any of that noise.
Well, that's good to know.
So let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I always talk about, like, you know, one of the critical elements that sort of holds this show together is that we talk about sort of serious, touchy-feely issues, but we do it in a lighthearted way through the channel of using being in an altered state of mind. But we only have two options for altered state of mind. It's either alcohol or weed, because that's the only things that I'm ever willing to actually do. Plus, this isn't my house, so I don't really want to, like, show up in my friend's house to record and be like, flipping tables over and stealing his cat. And
hey, everybody, have some Kool-Aid.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So Malcolm X tea. That was something else I learned about a couple years ago was like Malcolm X, you know, he's like a Muslim dude, so he doesn't drink, he doesn't do drugs, but he would like boil like nutmeg. And apparently like nutmeg has like psychedelic effects. And so he would like drink like this tea with like all this fucking
that's trippy
nutmeg and like
hey I smoke tea so I
get
guess
megged out yeah I mean
I guess I'm on the right track
yeah to say yeah it's on that same well it's funny because I had always heard I don't even remember who I heard this from but I'd always heard like cigarettes are bad but then they were talking about someone was telling me like smoking cloves is like the ultimately like worst possible thing because it's just like straight up solid like no filter or poison directly to your lungs and then I started smoking cloves because it tastes like Christmas time.
It's so concentrated, just like so hardcore, like what you're smoking and compared to cigarettes. But it usually tastes way better.
What's that?
You just wanted to smoke to be cool, is all that was.
Well, I mean, this was fairly recently, but it was just like, I was like, oh, well, fuck. And I think I might have been drunk too, but I was like, I'll try it. And then I smoked it and I was like, oh my God, it tastes like Christmas time. And it's funny because, like, I think you can only get them like from the Philippines or something right now. And there's like,
well, clove cigarettes. Because remember, I was buying them.
Okay.
But, you know, I wasn't.
They were all the rage.
That's why I was trying to be really vague. I was like, I don't know where I got them from.
Well,
I just
Obama,
know I was smoking them.
Obama banned clove cigarettes specifically because they're just like so delightful and tasty.
Yeah.
And he didn't want children to become addicted to them. And they actually, I think, are worse for you than like smoking just regular cigarettes. But, just like cloves, like clove cigars, they are technically, you can get those. I mean,
really?
Like Black and Milds are technically, I think a type of,
okay.
I don't know. Yeah. So
interesting.
What do I know?
I just know like the boxes I've seen for clove cigarettes are like from the Philippines, and there's like this like skeleton with like smoke around its like head, and it's just
it's
like
a hole in the esophagus.
It literally looks like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly.
Where like the guy's face melts off, and there's just smoke. Like that's what's on the side of the carton of the fucking
it's like, warning
clove cigarettes. And I'm like, well, if that's not gonna get you to stop,
you may look like this guy.
Yeah, you'll end up looking like this dude.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. So you have Flea Market Fanatics coming up. Do you know when the premiere date's going to be?
Well, what we're going to be doing is our shoot in March is the 16th. That's going to be our casting call.
Yep.
What we're going to do is we're going to shoot some commercials with that because we're actually going to be shooting the show, the majority of the show in May and June.
Okay.
And at the end of May and June, when that's nice out, so it's going to kind of lead up. So once we get to our shoot date in March, there we're going to be launching stuff all throughout April into May when we do the actual shooting, and then throughout the summer when we release the different episodes. So it's you'll have your own set of episodes. You'll mix in with me and Steve, and then we'll also be with the people in the market, the vendors. It'll be a real kind of eclectic kind of show. A little different than what's out there. But we think we have a good audience with the people at Rogers helping us out as far as giving us access to the flea markets and giving us behind the scenes access. So we'll be able to roam around the market without any problems. Hope to get some good like pickers and flippers, you know, people that look for junk and fix it up and sell it. So we'll have some of those kind of stories and do some stuff on some auctions and try to find some neat antiques and have some specialists and some guests. It'll be a good time. It's going to be a lot of work for me especially, and but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. I'll be sure to promote the shit out of that when we start getting that going. Is there anything else as far as websites, social media, anything else you want to promote?
Yeah, right now it's just the Fanatics, Flea Market Fanatics. You can find us on Instagram and on Facebook. We're going to be, as time goes on, we're going to be launching a lot of stuff with it. But if anybody's interested in being, you know, as a picker or whatnot, we're going to be at Rogers in March. They can contact us because it's going to be one hell of a show. That's for sure.
Very cool.
That's all I got on that right now. But we'll be launching the website, like I said, at the end of the month, beginning of March, which is going to be fleamarketfanatics.com.
All right, Geej, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at ggchick g.g.chick.
You can find me at EpicFaul, EpicFaul, on Instagram and Twitter, as well as you can find me every Sunday night at 7 p.m. at the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood for the Red Light Showcase. first Sunday of every month is the open mic, and the last three Sundays of every month is the booked showcase. I want to thank OK Pants at OK Pants on all of the social media for doing our logo. Pete Milk, he hooks us up with all of our recording, editing, sound needs. He was able to facilitate our first remote guest today.
Nice job.
Yeah, way to go, Pete.
Good job, Pete.
What a champ.
He figured that shit out like a pro. And also thanks to Above Below Entertainment and Lousy Weather Media. That is the network we are on. We always end the episodes with sound effects. So something that you may know, Steve, if you've been listening regularly, is we are... someday we're hoping to angle for sponsorship so we can afford an official sound effects machine.
Right.
But in the meantime, we've been going the cheap route and using the free ham horn app that Jeej picked up. Jeej, do you have some ideas for today's?
You know, well, it's not a part of my ham horn app, but okay. I think that it would be apt to go out just saying, yeah, man. Or hey, man, in the most stoner voice that we could come up with.
Okay, so all right, so we can all say yeah, man, on three. Does that work for you, Steve?
Hey, man.
Okay.
Should we say hey, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, okay. Man. Okay, we're so are we ready? All right, 1, 2, 3.
Hey, man.
Okay, love you, bye.